This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Peace, blessings and mercy upon you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic that we're going to discuss today is the fundamental beliefs that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, held, even within the Gospels, and what the similarities of that is to what we believe today in Islam as Muslims. Now, fundamentally, it is important to understand that we do not consider the Gospels and the Torah to be the untainted revelations of God, but we do believe that it does contain the words of God and the teachings that came from our Almighty Creator. Now, there's a lot of history to support my claim. However, I do not wish to focus upon that today. What I want to focus upon is that through my comparative study and coming from Christianity into Islam, I had discovered that today, as I believe, is very true to what Jesus Christ had taught, even within the Gospels, as to what we need to believe. Now, exteriorly, it is important to understand that Muslims do embody the teachings of Jesus Christ as to how to dress, how to wear your beard, how to make your prayer with your forehead to the ground, what kind of food you need to eat, and so forth. But fundamentally, what I want to focus on is the four fundamental beliefs that he held and that he taught to his people that we hold today. And in that, we are in submission to the Almighty Creator. Now, the definition of being in submission to the Almighty Creator means that you are Muslim. That is the direct translation, is to be in submission. So fundamentally, we believe that Jesus Christ was a Muslim. And I would like to take this time to explain to you why we believe that through these four fundamental beliefs. The first point that we're going to discuss is the oneness of God. The second point that we will discuss is that only this God is worthy of worship. Then we will touch upon the concept of forgiveness. And finally, we are going to conclude regarding the concept of being in submission to this God, his laws and his decrees. Now, the first point, that we only believe in one true Almighty God. This can be found within the Holy Quran in chapter 112, verse 1, where it says that, say that he is Allah, who is one. Furthermore, if we look at the Holy Quran in chapter 2, verse 163, we find that it says that, and your God is one God. There are no deities beside him. So fundamentally, in Islam, we believe that there's one true Almighty God, that there are no deities beside him. And if we look at the Gospels, we find that Jesus Christ teaches a similar message. For instance, in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, he says that, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we know that Jesus Christ also called this his God. For instance, in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 17, he speaks to his mother Mary, and he says that, I'm returning to my Father and to your Father. I'm returning to my God and to your God. And we know that Jesus Christ is not this God, nor is he a part of this God, due to the fact that he declares it unambiguously. For instance, in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3, he says that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So according to Jesus Christ, he's been sent by none other than the only true God. And here he is speaking to the Father. So even if we call him God, we find that he declares that he is not the only true God, but that there is only one true Almighty God, and that's the Father that's in heaven. Now, if we look at the second point, that this God is the only God that is worthy of worship, in the Holy Quran, chapter 5, verse 72, we find the following saying from Jesus Christ, where he says that, O children of Israel, worship Allah, who is my Lord and who is your Lord, and that anybody who associate partners beside Allah, Allah will forbid to him to enter into paradise. So fundamentally, what Jesus Christ is teaching here is that if we submit unto the Creator, we should worship only him, that we should not make any deities or partners beside him, and that if we do this, that we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, a similar message can also be found within the Gospels. For instance, in the book of Luke, chapter 4, where Jesus Christ says that, For it is written that we shall worship the Lord our God, and that we shall serve him only. So fundamentally, what Jesus Christ is teaching here as well is that we should submit only to the Lord our God, and that we should only worship him. And furthermore, in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 18 to 19, we find that Jesus Christ completely dissociates himself with that form of worship. For instance, when a man came unto him and he said that, O good master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? The first thing that Jesus Christ taught him is that, why do you call me good? For there's only one that is good, and that is our Father that's in heaven. So he never wanted to associate himself with that form of worship. He declared that there's only one that is good, and that's a Father that's in heaven. That you can't bring that likeness of worship propounded towards him. Now, the third fundamental point that I would like to focus on is the concept of salvation and forgiveness. Because in the Holy Quran, in chapter 39, verse 53, we find a beautiful verse where it says that, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair for the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. So what this means is that if you turn towards the Almighty Creator and you seek His forgiveness and you repent sincerely from within your heart, no matter how many sins you've accumulated, that He will give you forgiveness, that He will put you upon the right path. Now, what is important to understand here is that it's completely contradictory towards the Christian concept of salvation. Because according to the Christian concept of salvation, the only way that you will gain forgiveness is through the blood and the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. This is due to a decree that has been written by Paulus in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, where he says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. But what we find within the Torah is that this is completely negated, that God says that He does not need blood sacrifice in order to forgive you of your sins, that He only seeks sincere repentance, and that you follow His laws and decrees, and that you do justice. This exact example can be found within the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 11 to 20. Similar within the book of Proverbs, also in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. So fundamentally what we find within the Old Testament is that God does not need blood sacrifice in order to forgive you of your sin, which is completely contradictory towards what Paulus had taught in order to justify what Jesus Christ had to die upon the cross. But fundamentally, let us look what Jesus Christ has to teach, because we are looking at His belief system as to what He believed and what He had taught. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 13, He declares as to what His mission is, and He says that, For I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call to the righteous, but I came to call the sinners to repentance. So fundamentally what He's first saying is that He does not require any sacrifices. He only desires submission and mercy, and that He did not call to come towards the righteous, but He came to call those who are sinners to turn them towards repentance. Now He did not say that I came to call the sinners to have faith in my blood. He did not say that I came to call the sinners to have faith in my crucifixion. What He said is that through repentance there is salvation and there is forgiveness. As He said that, O Father in heaven, forgive us of our sins and have us forgive those who transgressed against us so that we might gain your forgiveness. So through forgiving others, through submitting unto this Creator sincerely in repentance, there is salvation. Now another unambiguous example of this is found within the book of Luke, chapter 19, where a very wealthy man came unto Jesus and he said that, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus Christ told him that if you want to enter into life, then of the wealth that you took from the people, pay it back to them. And this man actually paid four times as much back to those he stole from. And on the very lips of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 9, he says that salvation will come to this house. Now, fundamentally, what is important to understand is that through this man's righteous actions, he gained salvation on the lips of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't say you first need to have faith in my blood. He did not say you first need to make a blood sacrifice. He did not say have faith in the crucifixion, only then you will be forgiven of your sins. He said right there and then that through this righteous act, you will gain forgiveness of your sins. Now, the final point that I would like to focus on is regarding the concept of being in submission to this Creator, His laws and His decrees. Because what we find within the Holy Quran in chapter 24, verse 51, is that it says, The only saying of the faithful believers is that when they are called towards Allah and His Messenger, that they only need to say that we hear and that we obey. So what this means is that whenever God sends a message through one of His messengers, which is a law or decree, that we only need to hear that message and we need to say that we submit to it, that we obey that message. Because what we find within the church, and only some of the church, not all the churches propagate this, but what we find within some of the church is that we are no longer justified by the laws and decrees of God or the commandments of God. However, if we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we find a very contradictory teaching towards this. Because what Jesus says is that in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, He declares that, I did not come to change the law of the prophets before me. I did not come to change it, but only to fulfill it. So He only came to fulfill those laws and decrees in His life. And he says that until everything is fulfilled, not a single jot or tittle will pass away from the law. Now we know that everything is not fulfilled because Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, still has to come back on the final day to bring about justice. And Jesus Christ continues and he says that if you but so change the law of God and you teach people to reject the law itself, that you will be least in the kingdom of heaven. So fundamentally, he teaches that we need to submit to this law, that we need to submit unto the decrees of God. Now, another message of this is also in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 17, where a person again approaches Jesus and they ask, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, what Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, taught is that if you want to enter into life, follow the laws and commandments of God. Because fundamentally in that, we gain righteousness and we grow closer to God because you become more God-conscious through everything that you do in life. And that's a beauty that I discovered within Islam. In conclusion, what we find is that Jesus Christ propagated these four beliefs, that there's only one true Almighty God and that he is not this God. He declared that we shall only worship this Almighty God. He declared that if we seek forgiveness, we need to turn directly towards this Almighty God, that we need no third party, that we can pray out to God with a sincere heart and a sincere repentance to gain salvation and forgiveness. And he propagated that we need to be in submission to the laws and decrees of God, because that still grows us in righteousness. Because if we want to enter into life, we need to submit unto this Creator. So fundamentally, what we find is that if you embody these four fundamental beliefs within your heart, in Islam and in Arabic, we call that individual a Muslim. So for us, in our fundamental belief in Islam and in the belief of the Holy Quran, in the belief of the final prophet and this almighty creator, we believe that Jesus Christ was a Muslim because he held these four fundamental beliefs. And internally within himself, he taught that to his followers. If you enjoyed this message, please do leave us a like and also share this message. And if you enjoy content like this, discussing comparative religion, trying to find commonalities between the Torah, the Gospels, and the Holy Quran, so that we can find how to worship this almighty creator and to awaken that sense of fitrah within our hearts, that intricate connection that everybody is born with, then please do like my Facebook page and also follow me on Instagram. And if you guys are enjoying the work that we are doing as Aira, I just want to thank you for all your support, your likes and shares. Please do connect to us through our YouTube channel and also our Facebook page. And evermore, if you have any questions, feel free to message me. And we might even dedicate a video like this to your question. All the best of blessings to you and your family. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.